For those of you who are not familiar with this term, you just experienced an audible. And what's an audible but when you stand at the line of scrimmage in a football game and the quarterback views the defense scheme and says, well, I need to do something different. So I'm calling an audible at the line, and rather than throwing, maybe he runs. Rather than running, maybe he throws. But today was an audible because what you experienced was not planned, but was a move of the Spirit having brought forth pieces of the puzzle of today's service and intricately weaving it together, taking what Jerry talked about with purpose, equipping you through anointing, through prayer, to the point that you now have everything at your disposal to where you can truly succeed. So what does success mean to a believer in Yeshua? How do you know you are succeeding as a believer in Yeshua? But when we look at the definition of success, which is the opposite of failure, it is the status of having achieved and accomplished an aim or objective. Being successful means the achievement of desired visions and planned goals has been accomplished. The dictionary describes success as attaining wealth, prosperity, and or fame. So I don't believe this definition is sufficient for us to identify how we are successful as believers in Yeshua. Success tends to be a worldly aspiration based on the vision and goals accomplished through the world's eyes. You have wealth and prosperity. You have fame, which is the state of being known or talked about by many people, especially on account of notable achievements. And by today's standards, they don't even have to be notable to be achievements. I'm not saying that believers are to take a vow of poverty, but rather perspective as it pertains to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The dollar is the reserve currency of the world, yet is funny money in the kingdom of Adonai. Fame is a double-edged sword in that all it takes for a notable achievement today is going viral. The only real achievement is that you said something other people have noticed, whether good or bad. Yet was anything truly achieved? I would equate going viral as one's 15 minutes of fame. The most impressionable tend to be teens who have billions of marketing dollars thrown in their direction to influence their decisions, or should I say influence their parents' decisions. Marketers' goals are to sell product and thus succeed in the marketplace. Then you have television's influence, promoting affluence and success through the world's definition of fame and wealth. In the 80s, you had Robin Leach and his show, Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, giving us a glimpse into the lives of rich and powerful people. Then you had television shows based on wealth and power, Dallas Dynasty, Falcon Crest. I mean, these were shows that people gravitated to. These are shows that people aspired. We were in the go-go 80s, the Reagan Revolution. This was the influence of the time. The new millennia that we are living in now, keeping in mind it's 20% over. The new millennia we live in now is somewhat different in that it really doesn't promote those who already are rich and famous, but actually create wealth and fame. The Kardashians were an already affluent family in the 90s, yet through their television show became celebrities and extremely wealthy. They succeeded on their name recognition alone. Yet what did they truly accomplish? The world identifies this as being successful. Yet what did they truly succeed at? Wealth and fame can be a fickle pair. They can be addictive and they can be detrimental. For some, there is never enough wealth or fame to satisfy. In essence, it is like a drug. We have seen this dynamic of pursuing wealth creep into the body of Messiah, whereby evangelists promote a prosperity message through the use of Scripture, typically sowing a seed that will lead to heaven opening the gates of prosperity through your obedience to the message you're hearing. The body of Messiah is using the world's definition of success and infusing Scripture to promote another gospel, taking the parable of the sower and the seeds to prime the pump for giving to a specific ministry you hear, but others fell into rich soil and produced gain 100, 60, 30 times or fold, as much as had been sown, combined with a prophetic message to encourage you further to support the ministry, more often than not leads to the ministry that is being ministered reaping the benefits, as opposed to those that are infusing their seed, so to speak. We read of Yeshua's interaction with a rich man and his pursuit of eternal life in Matthew chapter 19. A man approached Yeshua and said, "Rabbi, what good thing should I do in order to have eternal life?" He asked the right question there. What is the recipe for eternal life? "Why are you asking me about good?" Yeshua responds. "There is one who is good, but if you want to obtain eternal life, observe the mitzvot." The man asked him, "Which ones?" And Yeshua said, "Don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't give false testimony. Honor your mother and father and love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "I have kept all these. Where do I still fall short?" His perspective is he's doing all these things, yet he does not feel like he succeeded. He has not reached the goal, so to speak. Yeshua said to him, "If you are serious about reaching the goal, go and sell your possessions, give to the poor, and you will have riches in heaven. Then come and follow me." But when the young man heard this, he went away sad because he was wealthy. Then Yeshua said to his Talmidim, "Yes, I tell you that it will be very hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Furthermore, I tell you that it is easier for a camel to pass through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." So just to clarify the needle, Yeshua's image may be literal, a camel and a sewing needle. Or he may be referring to the protective narrow passage at the entrance of the walled city called the needle's eye. Either understanding conveys Yeshua's intended outcome. It's harder for a rich person to be separated from their wealth, for which they believe they've earned, they believe that they embrace, that it's their wealth that provides them with the perspective of opening doors. Yet the one door riches do not open the door of the kingdom. So, as we read further, I want to share with you Psalm 1. Because the recipe for success in that which Adonai has set before you will not be based on one's net worth. No bank statements, no asset listings required. So when we look at Psalm 1, "How blessed are those who reject the advice of the wicked, don't stand on the way of sinners or sit where scoffers sit." And I'm not saying that this pursuit of wealth is a transgression, because God enables wealth amongst individuals. "Their delight is in Adonai's Torah. On this Torah they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams. They bear their fruit in season. Their leaves never wither. Everything they do succeeds." So are we seeing a connection here with Adonai's success and Torah? Because it goes on in verse 4, not so the wicked, who are like chaff driven by the wind. For this reason, the wicked won't stand up to the judgment, nor will sinners at the gathering of the righteous. For Adonai watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked is doomed. So we're seeing a separation of what God sees as successful and what the world sees as successful. All the self-help books and books written about how to succeed do not include the ultimate book on obtaining success. Not based on the world's defining, but based on the author of the world's defining. Torah is the key for succeeding. Not based on the world's view, but based on Adonai's view. We acknowledge this every Shabbat during our time of prayer when we open the ark and bring to mind the promises Adonai has made through his covenants with Israel. Promises made available to those who embrace them. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who grasp her. Whoever holds fast to her will be made happy. Thus the standard, the benchmark, the goal has been set for us as believers in Yeshua, that we can succeed. Yet even in the world and its definition of succeeding, there are challenges along the way. Curveballs, potholes, detours, and even dead ends. Those successful in the world must encounter and overcome these challenges as well. It is no different for us as we aspire to succeed in Adonai. Consider Psalm 11. In Adonai I find refuge. So how can you say to me, flee like a bird to the mountains? See how the wicked are drawing their bows and setting their arrows on the string to shoot from the shadows at honest men. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? What is in his holy temple? Adonai, his throne is in heaven. His eyes see and test humankind. Adonai tests the righteous, but he hates the wicked and the lover of violence. He will rain hot coals down on the wicked. Fire, sulfur, and scorching wind will be what they get to drink. For Adonai is righteous. He loves righteousness. The upright will see his face. Adonai tested Abraham at least 10 times from the moment he established a covenant relationship with him. Adonai would test Moses in order to overcome his doubt, his lack of faith, and his insecurity. Thus Adonai tests those whom he loves in order to strengthen them, not to break them. Testing is to see where we are at and thus reveal to us where and what we need to do further. In this case, the testing of our faith is meant to strengthen us further, causing us to be even more resolute, that is, immovable in our faith. Consider Psalm 19 from this week's Omer readings. The heavens declare the glory of God. The dome of the sky speaks the work of his hands. Every day it utters speech. Every night it reveals knowledge. Without speech, without a word, without their voices being heard, their line goes out through all the earth and their words to the end of the world. In them he places a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom from the bridal chamber, with delight like an athlete to run his race. We are in the midst of running the race of life. Success is not determined during the race, only progress. Whether you succeed is only determined upon completing the race. Winning is one thing, for there can only be one who finishes first. Yet this race is not about who finishes first, but rather who finishes. Now consider what is available to you while you are running your race. During a marathon, there are water stations for runners to rehydrate. While our rehydration is available not at a specific station, but at any time through our race. As I continue in Psalm 19, it rises at one side of the sky, circles around to the other side, and nothing escapes its heat. The Torah of Adonai is perfect, restoring the inner person. The instruction of Adonai is sure, making wise the thoughtless. The precepts of Adonai are right, rejoicing the heart. The mitzvah of Adonai is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of Adonai is clean, enduring forever. The rulings of Adonai are true. They are righteous altogether. More desirable than gold, than much fine gold. Also sweeter than honey or drippings from the honeycomb. More desirable than gold, in other words, something that money, no matter how much of it you have, can truly buy. It cannot be purchased, what I'm talking about. It cannot be acquired. It can only be embraced. Verse 11. Through them your servant is warned. In obeying them, there is great reward. Who can discern unintentional sins? Cleanse me from hidden faults. Also, keep your servant from presumptuous sins, so that they won't control me. Then I will be blameless and free of great offense. Thus may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be acceptable in your presence, Adonai, my rock and my redeemer. Thus the goal, the desired outcome the psalmist is preparing you for. The success is not just being in the presence of Adonai, but to be deemed acceptable in his presence. Thus it is not about limping over the finish line, but to finish your race strong. I recall watching the last 400 meters of various marathons, where runners have already run 26 miles. You get to see various scenarios play out in the last 400 meters. When one is running unchallenged, they likely maintain their pace and finish the race. Yet when someone is being challenged by another who is in pursuit, the one leading is threatened that they will lose their position. Thus you see each quickening their pace, each trying to outperform the other with the simple aspiration of finishing before the other. Thus after 26 miles, you see runners sprint to the finish as if they were running a 100-meter dash. This is what is known as finishing strong. You're not in competition with each other, but are seeking the position of being acceptable in the presence of Adonai. Consider Shaul's words in Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 1. Brothers, my heart's deepest desire and my prayer to God for Israel is for their salvation. For I can testify to their zeal for God, but it is not based on correct understanding. For since they are unaware of God's way of making people righteous, and instead seek to set up their own, they have not submitted themselves to God's way of making people righteous. Keeping in mind, these are the unbelievers. You as believers already know this. For the goal at which the Torah aims is that of Messiah, who offers righteousness to everyone who trusts. For Moses writes about the righteousness grounded in Torah, that the person who does these things will attain life through them. They will finish the race. Moreover, the righteousness grounded in trusting. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend to heaven? That is to bring the Messiah down. Or who will descend into Sheol? That is to bring the Messiah up from the dead. What then does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word about trust, which we proclaim, namely, that if you acknowledge publicly with your mouth that Yeshua is Lord, and trust in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be delivered. For with the heart one goes on trusting, and thus continues towards righteousness, while with the mouth one keeps on making public acknowledgement, and thus continues towards deliverance. For the passage quoted says that everyone who rests his trust on him will not be humiliated. What is humiliation but the result of failure? The opposite of success. Thus, if you are not humiliated, you have succeeded. The world's definition of success is not applicable when viewing how Adonai identifies success. Adonai has revealed an enormous amount of treasure to us, that is his word, which is the currency of the kingdom. And thus you will know if you have succeeded when you stand accepted before Adonai. Thus for now, know that he has provided you with everything you need for the race you are running. And I will end with a final sports analogy. Leave it all on the field. That is, give everything you have in running this race so that you don't second guess yourself. Because when your race is finished, that is when you leave time for eternity. There is no more running. There is no more race, for Yeshua has affirmed to us, after warning upon warning, a litany of challenges. In Matthew 24:13, he says, "But whoever holds out till the end will be delivered." So this may sound all well and good. You're saying, well, we won't know until we stand before God. I'm not saying that at all. But consider the words of Shaul to Timothy. We know in our hearts, because belief starts in the heart. As Shaul writes to Timothy at the end of his second letter, "I solemnly charge you before God and Messiah Yeshua, who will judge the living and the dead when he appears and establishes his kingdom. Proclaim the word. Be on hand with it whether the time seems right or not. Convict, censure, and exhort with unfailing patience and with teaching. For the time is coming when people will not have patience for sound teaching, but will cater to their passions and gather around themselves teachers who say whatever their ears itch to hear. Yes, they will stop listening to the truth, but will turn aside to follow myths. But you remain steady in every situation. Endure suffering. Do the work that a proclaimer of the good news should, and do everything your service to God requires. For as for me, I am already being poured out on the altar. Yes, the time for my departure has arrived. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." And what does this faith proclaim in this last verse? "All that awaits me now is the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for him to appear." I would say that's everybody in this room. Shaul left it all on the field. This is Adonai's success. This is his definition. So I want you to keep these things in mind. It's a long race. It doesn't ever get any easier. Just when you think you're coasting and doing well, what happens? But there's a hill you have to go up. So there are stations available for you to re-energize yourself. It's called daily prayer. It's called being in the Word daily. It's called doing these things on a regular basis. Because just as your body needs to be nourished, your spiritual body needs to be nourished equally, if not more. So keep these things in mind, that the success that I'm talking about is not the success of the world, because it is not transferable. A rich man can't enter the kingdom with all he is taking with him, because he can't take it with him. But what you are doing is you are establishing a currency, a bank account, that is only redeemable in the kingdom. So in order to redeem what's already in the kingdom, you have to be able to enter the kingdom. So keeping in mind, this is the success that I'm talking about. With the purpose that Jerry is talking about, you put these things together, and then the anointing, the prayer, everything that goes along with it, you have everything at your disposal for truly being a successful believer. You will reap your rewards, not here, but when you stand accepted before him, and not until then. You shall be rewarded here in various ways, but not the rewards that Shaul was talking about, a crown of righteousness. You'll actually see what that means, but not now. We're trying our best to pursue righteousness. Yet when we cross the line, you will receive your crown for completing the race, which the direction is based on righteousness. So if everybody will please rise.